Hi-ho, the open seas, it's a pirate's life for me. I'll tie you to the mizzen mast, 'cause it's a podcast.
Gary Butterfield listens to Pavement, followed it up with an irrelevant statement. Now we go back on topic. Gary is also myopic. I mean that he wears glasses. Moby Dick is one of the classics. Gary sometimes streams on Twitch, but doesn't wear Abercrombie and Fitch. What a bummer. What a bummer. Hey, everybody. It's me, Brayden Cameron, back with our own selections here on Teenage Dirtbag, and we chose to do LFO's Summer Girls. Isn't that right? My man, Gary Butterfield.
Oh, we certainly did. I like Beholders and Lich. Gonna get with it. We did. So I think we decided to take our first time back where we get to choose and make the worst possible choice.
It was terrible.
This is fucked up. It's fucked up.
Gary, before I get too far into, before we even start talking about the video, I want to do a tale from Corporate Future.
Whoa, shit. Okay. Yeah, corporate America.
Yeah, Tales from Corporate America. Sorry.
Tales from Corporate America.
When I used to work at Target for a short period of time, I was working at in the movies, music, and books section. Mm. And out of spite, it was right at this period of time that LFO's Summer Girls was equally popular to Len's Steal My Sunshine. And
Duet of Pleasures.
Yes. And every mom that came in to buy their child the CD, I told them the opposite one.
Yay!
They were just like, what is that song? I go with the Steal My Sunshine. I'm like, oh yeah. It's called Summer Girls by LFO.
Yeah, it's called Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if that would actually impact any kids' lives. I want to be like, you changed their life, but honestly, like, I don't think it did change their life that much.
Yeah, it if anything, it just, you know, made their parents look older and more out of touch than they probably did before.
Yeah,
and out of time. You got me the wrong one.
I've mentioned this before, but my friend Eric, his mom, in searching for REM CDs, got him an REO Speedwagon CD. Pretty off base. but that is very funny, Brayden.
Yeah.
I love it. This is real excruciating. I have a very hard time watching this or listening to it. I took notes. I don't always take notes, but we haven't recorded in a while. I wanted to get back in the rhythm.
Yeah.
I'm going to read my notes, even though they reference some things later in the video.
Oh, no. This video doesn't really have like a coherent story. So
No. Okay. Yeah, I think it'll be okay, too. So I just want to read these in order. These guys, these lyrics, clams beer. Call me Willy Whistle. This is vile. This is awful. I am dying. Please help. Rhyming dictionary, the song. How do you come back from this? Hot corn. No voluptuousness. Pogo sticks? Mr. Limpet holds his nose during the so-so part.
Yeah.
So that is the little poem, like my short free verse poem about LFO's Summer Girls.
It's wonderful. It's better than the lyrics of this song.
Oh, my God. Like, dude, has it been this bad? Have we reached a new low?
This is definitely like, I feel like this song, and you know, for those listening in the audience, or the whole group, you know, we record in batches. I think all of the videos that we chose are somehow better than the songs themselves, in that the songs are incredibly bad.
You say that, but the third thing we're going to record tonight, I don't think any of the other two things we're recording, but the third thing, I was surprised by how into it I was.
Okay, all right.
I was like, this kind of owns.
Yeah.
I think this is the worst one. So we'll get into it though. Let's not do that. That's for 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one. So let's talk about LFO.
Okay. So my first thought is, how old are these guys?
Yeah. That's a really good question, because they all have that kind of like like they look like undercover cops.
Yes.
In like doing a sting at 21 Jump Street. You know, this is like they're kind of like 21 Jump Street guys.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, the main guy, if we want to call it, you know, anything Rich? Like that. Yeah, Rich.
Rich Cronin.
The guy who, wait, is his name really Rich? Because I know that's a line in the song about how he introduced himself. And he said, my name was Rich, as if that wasn't his real name.
No, no. You could be forgiven, though, for thinking it was made up nonsense, because that's the entirety of the song.
Yes.
No, that's Rich Cronin.
Rich Cronin. Okay, so Rich Cronin, who already sounds like a villain from... like a bad sci-fi horror movie.
He came back from closing down a bunch of orphanages.
Yeah. He looks like, you know, like Nick Lachey during the 98 Degrees era. So maybe he's in his early 20s, is my guess.
Yeah.
Now, with him is a backwards baseball hat, dirty pubes stash, but the body of a 24-year-old.
I call him Doogie Howser's best friend gone bad. Yes. It looks like Vinny Broke Bad.
Yeah, he definitely is that. He's just got the shittiest dirt stash. He wears his hat backwards and a wife beater most of the video. Now
and then there's Rich's stunt double. Rich's palette swap in a fighting game, like,
yeah.
If you could choose Sub-Zero Rich or Scorpion Rich, and you just paint his hair black.
Yeah, I think it's like black-haired Eric Trump is like.
Yeah. And God, can you imagine a more damning thing than like that guy looks like Eric Trump? Oh, you mean like, but at least he's wealthy and stuff. No. Like he just looks like Eric Trump. Yeah. Woof.
And I cannot, after watching this video, and admittedly I don't know much about LFO, I cannot understand why there are three members of this band and not just one.
Yeah, it's a boy band, which I didn't realize until I did a little tiny bit of research.
Yeah.
Because it has a song like this could also be like in the Sugar Ray mold or Len, like you mentioned. Like this kind of has that summer pop, like, you know, maybe an instrument touched this feeling to it.
Yeah.
Even though it is not the case.
Yeah. I know, I was actually hoping this was going to be the, like, Girl from the TV video for LFO, and I had forgotten that was the name of that song, because that was, at least we could have talked about Jennifer Love Hewitt, but now we're stuck.
We can still talk about her. That's who Cronin dated.
What? They dated?
Yeah, man. The Wikipedia for Rich Cronin, like, talk about fucking ups and downs, man. So we got, you know, him making the album.
Yeah.
We got his reunion with the June 3rd, 2009 LFO blog, LFO is Back, on their MySpace.
Oh, man.
The new song, Summer of My Life, etc. In 1999, he began dating Jennifer Love Hewitt, meeting her backstage at the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards.
Oh, remember when that was a thing and Blockbuster was a thing?
I mean, like part of it. They broke up in 2000, and then Rich Cronin died in 2005.
He died?
Yeah, he sought, Rich Cronin sought treatment for constant headaches and was diagnosed with acute myelogenous leukemia. Ain't that a kick in the hernia? He underwent chemotherapy, et cetera, et cetera. In summer 2010, he suffered a relapse.
Yeah.
And then September 8th, my birthday, 2010, he died.
You killed him.
I did. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah,
happy birthday to me.
Not so much for Rich Cronin.
Rich Cronin, R.I.P.
Yeah.
like he's gone for the summer, every summer. Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's a bummer, I suppose, that he had leukemia. I'm not in favor of leukemia.
No.
But yeah, this guy's had a real roller coaster. Like, can you imagine dating Jennifer Love Hewitt and getting leukemia?
Yeah, I mean, those are like dating Jennifer Love Hewitt in her prime.
Baby. Yeah. Like, daddy, like.
Yeah, and then 5 years later, leukemia.
Brayden, can we introduce one of our segments, taking a trip down to tight back, taking a trip down to tight pants junction?
Sure.
Okay. You get my brand new pants a brand new happy fit, and you really got me moving. So let me get you moving. Because, I mean, just Jennifer Love Hewitt in her prime. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely had a crush on Jennifer Love Hewitt in 1999.
Oh my God!
Everyone else, I think.
Yeah, like you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt into it.
Yeah.
just, you know, just, man, 1999 Jennifer Love Hewitt, all the hits, right?
Right.
Party of Five.
Party of Five. Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait. Maxim Magazine cover, 2009.
Sure.
Other I Know What things. You Did Last Summer. Oh. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
She was in Sister Act 2?
Hell yeah, dude. She, like, she was, and man, she was smoking. It's like, I watched that whole movie taking a trip down to Tight Pants Junction, uh-huh. And finally got rewarded when she showed up.
Isn't Lauryn Hill in that movie, too?
I don't know. Okay. She also reprised her role in Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties.
Oh, yes.
As well. So she's fallen on hard times as well. Like, no leukemia, but like, yeah. not doing great.
Yeah, I know she was in a Ghost Whisperer show.
Oh, long. She won a lot of awards for that.
Really?
Teen Choice. Yeah, tons of the Saturn Awards, the TV Land Awards, the People's Choice Awards, the Saturn Awards. Like, lots of awards you've never heard of.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did really good, you know, great work with Ghost Whisperer. truly one of the nation's classic hotties.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
From back in the day.
a true summer girl.
Gary, let's focus on this video for just one second.
Yeah.
So Chinese food makes me sick.
this didn't come out the same summer as Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, right?
I don't think so. I think that song came out at least a year before.
There was a weird period there where everyone decided, like, Chinese food is just a staple of our lives, but we should actually see what we think about it. You know, like, I'd never questioned Chinese food before that summer, every summer. And now, you know, now it's like, well, what does it do to me? It doesn't make me sick. But also, one lick doesn't make my start ticking or whatever either.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel relatively neutral towards it. Like, it's good, but...
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was based on some sort of actual Chinese food epidemic of that time or what.
Oh, sure. It could have been like a lo mein, canned lo mein
crisis.
Staff, you know? Yeah. staff disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also just think, so sick... It's like one of the easiest words to rhyme. Like, as somebody who occasionally traffics in rhyme, this is a very frustrating video to me because a lot of the lines he uses, they're just kind of more obvious some actual sequiturs, not some non sequiturs that he could have done, you know. And the Chinese food makes me sick thing, like,
and that's the chorus. Like, he has a throwaway line in the chorus.
Like, it comes up a lot.
I like when girls song. Visit in the summer. Chinese food makes me sick.
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's like this, I mean, the fact that this guy eventually had constant headaches and all this stuff that, like, makes making fun of him for nonsensical lyrics feel a little bad.
No,
because what if something was at work?
I feel like it's not nonsensical lyrics so much as it is just bad. Like, it's just lazy writing.
The Wikipedia compares it to the Thanksgiving song by Adam Sandler.
Oh.
Which is pretty good. Like, this does have, like, the same cadence as those.
Yeah, that's fair.
Those rhymes, you know. So we should talk about what happens in the video as well,
because
not a whole lot happens, but there are a couple things that I think are noteworthy. So it's them hanging out at a carnival, you know, which, like, classic summer destination.
Yeah,
100%. And just kind of them, like, walking around singing. There's girls around them, you know. They're scuzzing out.
Yeah,
you know, they're wearing sweaters. It's fucking weird. Something that I noticed that I want to bring up. Did you notice that how incredibly skinny every girl is that's in this video?
Yes.
Like, in a non, you know, like, of course, like, you know, models and girls in videos tend to be skinny, but they're very skinny.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a lot of, like, you know, very thin, not like in a classic kind of voluptuousness.
It is fashion. Like, almost to the level of being worrisome.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And all the girls, they look like they're maybe 16, 17 years old, you know, like, that's, to me, they look all very young.
Oh, totally.
I mean,
and it's because these guys have a hard age. Also, man, Brayton, are you watching the video in the background?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to need you to switch. This is a pop-up audio emergency.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to swip to about a minute, 27 seconds.
Okay.
And then pause it, and then so you got this guy's face, you know, guy around her face. Look at Vinny, you know, Breaking Bad Vinny in the background. Look at him motion to this girl's fucking crotch in the background. It's like this real subtle little move.
Yeah.
Pop-up audio.
I when girls stop by for the summer, for the summer. I like girls.
The fuck is that, dude? Like, and he does a little circle with his hand and then presents it like he's offering like a cake or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like that that video of Back to the Future 3 where it's that little kid pointing at his own junk and then like, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't seen. I need to see Back to the Future 3.
Oh yeah, it's Back to the Future 3.
The one I haven't seen.
It's at the very end of the movie where Doc is introducing his two kids, and one of the kids is obviously like, you know, he's like 4 or 5 or something, and he's just signaling to his parent that he needs to go pee, but that, like, no one noticed it, and it ended up in the movie, and he just like points times at his like at his junk, and then like waves or something, and it's really funny that it's actually in the movie.
Do you think that's what this guy is saying, that this extra needs to pee?
No,
and she just whispered her in his ear, and it's just like, Dow Brian. Also, are the guy's name Dow Brain?
Dow Brain?
Hold up. The three songwriters credited on this song are Rich Cronin, Dow Brain, and Brad Young. And then produced by Dow Brain. Like, there's definitely somebody named Dow Brain.
Dow Brain? That sounds like a company.
Yeah. Like, download this American producer, songwriter, and pianist.
Yeah.
From Boston. Yeah, Dow Brain. So I don't think that guy's an LFO. I think Dow Brain's the, you know, the professional songwriter that worked with Cronin. But whoever Scuzzbag is, like, it's like the extra was just like, I gotta pee. Like, are we ever gonna get a chance to pee? And he just like incorporated into his dance, doing a little swirly finger motion.
Yeah.
Right in the you know, trouser front.
No, I think he's just gross.
Yeah, I think it's probably about her vagina. Like, he's probably horny for girls.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing you can say about LFO is, like, they're definitely horny.
Yeah.
This is, like, a pretty horny song and video, like, you know, in general.
Gary, during your research, did you happen to come across what LFO stands for?
I didn't, but I know what it could stand for. Because LFO is a music term. Like, it is something that, like, an effect you can add to a sound
or
a tweak. So that could be what it refers to.
Mm.
That's a good question, though. Let's see if the internet can find out. What's me Googling?
Oh yeah, what you Googling, Gary?
What you Googling? AKA the quiet search.
Search. Search. Search. Search. Search. So while you're doing that little search, I want to talk about the just a little bit after the audio that you found is the breakdancer doing the splits, getting frozen in midair and then coming back.
Some Hathaway time.
Yeah.
Time manipulation. So
apparently they didn't want you to know that he was going to fall flat on his back and probably hurt himself.
Yeah. Like, there's several minutes of uncut, you know, of footage that's taken of him being rushed to the hospital.
Yeah.
The carnival medic tent so they can cotton candy some cast onto him. The actual answer for how these guys got their name is actually way worse than I thought.
Okay.
LFO stands for light, and that's spelled LYTE.
Oh.
Light Funky Ones.
Oh, God.
That's what they used to be their name, and then they just went by the initial. But they used to be called the Light Funky Ones.
What? Why would you ever do that?
I hate these guys so much, and I hate this video so much. I hate this song so much. I gotta say, I know that we record in batches. We don't want to talk about that too much, but it was such a journey preparing for these videos, I feel like. Because I started in the depths of hell with the Light Funky Ones, and then eventually we, like, literally go to heaven. At the end, like, it becomes the joy that I have with the third thing that we're talking about, and was also the third. We're recording these in roughly the order I, like, watched and researched them, just kind of coincidentally. And by the way, coincidentally, I think it was the order that we had in the email.
Yeah, I think so. I wanna just read off some of the lyrics for those who are not reading or not listening to this, which I don't recommend. I recommend
watch the video. Yes.
Here we go. This is the second verse, or whatever it is. Hip hop mama, spick and span, met you one summer, and it all began You're the best girl that I ever did see. The great Larry Bird, Jersey 33. So is she Larry Bird?
That would be amazing. Because they are into girls with a real Larry Bird physique.
Yes, it appears that way, yes.
Like, you look at the girl and you're just like, oh, dude, she looks like Larry Bird. Like, pants tight zone.
Yes.
You know, just like.
God, do you remember when he used to do commercials for McDonald's?
Got the dunk. Space Jam.
Let's keep going. When you take a sip of what no one knows, you buzz like a hornet. Billy Shakespeare wrote a whole bunch of sonnets.
Sornets. I like the idea of, like, because Billy Shakespeare makes me think of, like, you know, like a hillbilly Shakespeare, and calling him sornets. I love my sornets.
Yeah.
You know.
Consornet.
Yeah, consonnet. Yeah, those are lyrics, man. Like, somebody wrote this, and it seems written by, like, a Markharv chain. Yeah, this was inescapable, man.
Yeah.
Like, Summer Jam, I feel like this, you know, we're restructuring our thing a little bit because we did all those dictations, you know. Yeah. So Summer Jam season started real late.
Yeah.
This year, and it's abbreviated.
Mm-hmm.
Warn everybody that. But it's, this is kind of against the spirit of Summer Jam season, because in the past, like, at the very least, Summer Jams, you know, like, you'd listen to something like Barbie Girl, and, like, that at least doesn't feel, it doesn't hurt as much. Like, this feels offensive to me in a way.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a jam at all.
I mean, it's definitely, like, this was an inexplicable summer song, though. Like, nobody could get rid of it. There's some, like, fucking, what I consider to be lies in the Wikipedia for this, which is that they said that they never thought this would be a big hit. It was a demo tape that got leaked to a radio station.
Oh, sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
No way. And then someone just listened to it was like, yes, this is a hit. And, like, I hate they were right. You know, like, it drives me up the wall. Like, how does this work?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It has brand recognition, a lot of mentions of celebrities and the roles that they played.
But the non sequitur bit really bothers me. And I don't like how he mixes his similes, his sensible similes, mm-hmm. with his nonsensible similes, where it's like, you know, get buzzed like a hornet.
Yeah.
All right. You know, like, that's it's fine. And then that Billy Shakespeare line.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this is that they do a lot of the video on this roof where they're behind the big boy.
Yes.
I like any kind of appearance by big boy. Of the big boy burger chain. And that reminds me that it is time to do one of our segments, Worst Witch.
It's great to be with you sandwiches on this fabulous night. Remember, girls, show the world, let them know it's mayonnaise. Hit it! Anything could happen on mayonnaise. Your hot dog could turn into a catfish po' boy.
Ooh, but before we do Worst Witch, Gary, I'm cutting right in here.
It's a teenage dirtbag's upset.
That's
it's
right.
The splice zone.
The splice
to Mises.
Yeah, let's see if we can remember by the end of this segment. Because we're going to talk about which Pokemon is a Cubist.
Smurgle has a brush on his tail. In this tournament he will surely fail. And Geodude might cop a 2 when observing a noob descending a staircase. He'll come in last place. Cause this tournament ain't about their size. How badass they are, how cute their eyes. This time we're looking at their heart to see if they are fans of Cubist art. So we'll start at the beginning and then we'll ramp. Cause we need to see which Pokemon's the real Marcel Duchamp. Cuddle up with your arcane eye. This song's over, it's tournament time. Pablo Tops.
Gary, I've got two Pokemon right here for you. Electabuzz and Plusle.
Okay.
Which of these two electric Pokemon? This is going to be like an almost all electric.
I noticed that. I realized, like, maybe you had these sorted by type or something.
I don't. These are all random.
Because we are skewing very electric.
Yeah. Yeah.
All this.
Well, the next two, I promise, are not electric, but...
Oh, that's a Teenage Dirtbag guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay, who we got here? We got Electabuzz. Now, Electabuzz is... I don't know what kind of animal Electabuzz is supposed to map onto. Like, yeah. Some kind of cat.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and then... I didn't know Electabuzz had a third evolution.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's hideous. Yeah. What is... Wow. Electivire. Jesus Christ. I do not care about for Electivire. So Electabuzz is kind of an electric thing. Stands. He's got these, like, lots of lightning bolts on his fur. He looks like a real grump.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And then we got Plusle, who is one of the weird, like, baby Pikachus.
Yes.
He's not a baby Pikachu, because that's Pichu, but they also added Plusle and Meinle.
Who were basically Pichus, but
like different kinds of Pichus, because we needed more pure electric types. Fucking A. I don't need to go on that rebuttal field again.
No.
But it is just these pure electric types and they get me. This is pretty tricky. So one of them is a baby.
Yeah.
And that is right now what I'm working out with.
Yeah.
A baby probably, but I mean, like, simple shapes and cubes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is very appealing to babies. And there's that whole, like, my kid drew that angle. I'm going to give this to Plusle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big upset to me.
Does Electabuzz look like he enjoys art? Like, Electabuzz looks like a cranky moron.
I feel like I could see that. But, you know, I feel like with all of the angles on Electabuzz's body, it might be willing to, like, see something of itself in the art. But...
Yeah,
that would have been the angle I went with, but I like what you did with the Plusle.
Yeah, it's all about simple shapes.
Yeah,
you know, and also like Electabuzz, you know, I don't know, that evolution soured me. I can't pretend like it didn't, you know. And I know this isn't about being cute or anything, but it's I'm only human, so it is hard to go back. Brayden, I gotta talk about a sandwich.
Okay,
all right. So people who listen to the show and other people. And yourself know that we used to be roommates, but now we live in separate places.
It's true.
I moved just down the street, but even moving 7 blocks away means I have a new restaurant biome, which means I've been going to new restaurants, which means I have a new sandwich restaurant. My new sandwich restaurant is Guero.
Guero is great. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Guero is the shit.
Yeah.
Guero is a torta restaurant near my house that has delicious tortas. They're not quite the worst witch, but they are delicious.
Yes. Guero is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that Guero. So I've been eating lots of Guero sandwiches. And they have a carrot habanero sauce that can't be beat.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's they have two kinds. They have like a spicy kind and a non-spicy kind. I don't know how you make something that has habanero flavor but not make it spicy as shit, but they somehow managed it.
Yeah.
So, I just, you know, a little recommendation, little shout out on the worst witch, way into Guero.
Cool.
You had any good sandwiches lately?
Oh boy. No.
No? Do you not do sandwiches anymore?
No, I do. I do lots of sandwiches. You know,
but they've all been bad.
I actually, I had a vegan, or it was a vegetarian, Cubano the other day. A couple weeks ago, and that was surprisingly good. It didn't taste like a Cubano, but it was still a good sandwich.
What did it do for the protein?
I think it was seitan.
Okay. Hail seitan.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you found that your sandwich life has been impacted a lot by being vegetarian?
No. Honestly, not that much. I don't get basic sandwiches as much anymore. Like, I can't get a turkey sandwich or a chicken sandwich and just be done with it. Like, it always ends up having to be a thing. But most of my sandwich eating, I can still go with the old reliable grilled cheese or you know, a grilled cat, which is the cheese, avocado, and tomato, which is maybe one of my favorites. So for the most part, it's okay. I miss, you know, I don't get to eat, like, you know, the sausage super sledge sandwich 9000 or anything like that, but that's okay.
Yeah. I would miss like a big sausage sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely would miss that, which is a good reason that vegetarianism is not compulsory.
Yes.
You know, I appreciate that for now. until, you know, the Obama cronies get in and really push their liberal agenda on all of us, you know?
All right. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
The one of the things about this video I do like, going back to the video, just very briefly, because there's not a whole lot to talk about in it.
Yeah.
But so they're at a carnival, which has a bunch of signs for big carnival food. And I like the idea of walking around a place that just says clam beer and hot corn in big letters, just like clams beer. I like the idea of clams beer and just hot corn, which I know that's not that unusual for a carnival food.
Right. Yeah. Hot corn is great, especially if you go to the Ren Fair. It was like one of my favorite things to just get like the grilled corn that they have there.
It just usually you don't specify when food is hot. Like, I mean, you do sometimes, but like cold corn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that's a thing. It's elotes, but
yeah,
or can be. But hot corn.
Yeah. But it's not popped corn. It's hot corn.
Yeah. It could pop.
It could at any moment.
It's hot corn, but it wants to grow up to be popped corn.
And you're going to stop it by putting it in your stomach.
Like, just chill out.
We're going to dash its dreams yet again.
Like, I'll put you in belly jail. do you think that food appreciates being eaten because if you didn't make it do a timeout in your belly, it would eventually rot?
I really don't think it puts that much thought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe. I don't think, you know, to be honest with you, I assume that rot is the more natural way. And then being digested is like murder.
That's okay. Okay. All right. All right. So I guess like I just feel like I could see both sides.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the truth is somewhere in the middle, by which I mean kombucha and kimchi, where you get a little bit of both worlds.
Yes. Any sort of fermented cabbage is, who knows what it is.
Or fermented food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah?
Which Pokemon of these two is a cupist?
Like, we gotta get out of the LFO zone.
Smurgle has a brush on his tail, and this tournament he will surely fail. And Geodude might cop a two when observing a noob descending a staircase. He'll come in last place, cause this tournament ain't about their size. How badass they are, how cute their eyes. This time we're looking at their heart to see if they are fans of Cubist art. So we'll start at the beginning, and then we'll ramp, cause we need to see which Pokemon's the real Marcel Duchamp. Cuddle up with your Arcanine, the song's over, it's tournament time. Pablo Tops.
I'm out of things to say about LFO. Yeah. I mean, I suggested this. I'll take some heat on this. It is an undeniable summer jam, and I thought like I would have more to say about the lyrics other than it's like when something is like bad in an uninteresting way.
Yeah.
You know, it is just worthy of like outright condemnation.
Yeah.
You know, there's no room for discussion on these lyrics. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, and there's just like this element of like the video bothers me on this, like, sort of they probably found real LFO fans and they were like,
lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, lose 20 pounds. Come work out with, like, come hang out with us and work on this shoot and like with some sort of competition. And then they all just end up being pervs, like, pointing at their junk. And
the girl, when she gets her vagina pointed to by the scummiest LFO, she, like, does this giggle that makes me very sad inside. It's like, get out. Like, I want to, like, save her.
Yeah.
You know? Like, inside there's a version of her that has not been hypnotized into the LFO-averse.
And maybe is doing just fine right now.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope all these people were not summarily executed after this video.
I've never seen any of them.
No, I haven't seen any of them again, including Rich Cochner, who, like, eventually, paid the Piper. But, like, everyone else, they just disappeared.
Yeah.
As far as we know. Except for that breakdancer guy who definitely broke his back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Gary, the two Pokemon which you were discussing are Scyther and Purloin. Do you remember Purloin?
Oh, of course I do.
And Scyther, I hope you remember as well.
Oh, of course. Not purloined.
No, P-U-R-R-L-O-I-N.
Ah, yeah. Oh, purloined.
Because it's purloined.
It's a devious Pokemon. pretty cute. So Purloin, for people who don't know, is a little purple cat.
Yeah.
You know, real crafty looking.
Mm-hmm.
Real devious. Scyther is a classic.
Yeah.
One of the original 151. Mm-hmm. Pretty much like a man-sized praying mantis.
Yes.
Yes. That is a bug flying type. Now, this is tricky as far as cubism goes.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to cube, everything I've said about these guys still says nothing in relation to the art form known as cubism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty tricky. I think that out of the two of them, Purloin definitely looks more like contemplative.
Mm-hmm.
Or contemplable.
Yep.
Thinky. And, you know, kind of seems like it has more going on, where Scyther is definitely like a warrior.
Yeah.
And also a bug. You know, can like a bug appreciate art?
Well, we're living in a world where bugs can talk. You know.
That's true.
Anything is possible.
It is definitely true.
Dogs have paintbrush tails.
I'm imagining like a piece of art on the wall, you know, and then a bunch of bugs just kind of swirling around it. And do they care about the art? Like, do they care about the cubes? Or do they just care about, like, the moisture they can lick off the oil paint, you know, and everything? And then a cat, though, like, I've got a bunch of art up in my apartment,
mm-hmm.
And Roars doesn't give a shit,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I guess he, like, stares at the wall sometimes, but he'll just stare at a section of wall that's painting on it and a section that's totally, you know, free. And also sections that have bugs on them.
Yeah.
So it's weird. I feel like there's some kind of rock, paper, scissors situation going on here with cats appreciating bugs appreciating cubism, and then cubism appreciating cats. I don't know. It doesn't quite hold together. This is a tricky one.
Right? Yes, this is a tough one.
This is one of the tougher ones.
This is what happens when they're not electric our all time, types.
In our all-time toughest tournament. We've done. This one is definitely that. Here, let me see. Looking at weaknesses to see if that helps anything. Oh boy. So Scyther can learn Steel Wing. Yeah, this is tricky. I'm gonna go just with the fact that I'm gonna go with Purloin, because Purloin looks like it is capable of appreciation at all.
Sure, I can understand that.
Yeah, like just like the fact that like the cat, like if any cat, you know, can do art.
Yeah.
Also, Purloin steals things. Maybe art thief?
Could be.
Like Purloin could steal a copy of, you know, Nude Descending a Staircase.
But didn't you just say that Scyther learned steel wing as well?
Different kind of steel, my friend. That's been a teenage dirtbag's wordplay. Yeah, I can't say we've learned a whole lot this episode. Yeah. I mean, I guess we all learned that the guy from LFO died. And we learned that Jennifer Love Hewitt makes me want to do it. yeah. But he's not that attracted to her. I think when I was younger, I was just like, you know, but that was literally anything. Like that's when you're like 12 or 13 is the primary time in your life for wanting to like have sex with mannequins and shit.
Oh, sure.
Like you see like a mannequin wearing underwear and you're like, oh man, you know, like, that looks pretty good. And it's like, well, yeah, it's plastic, young boy.
Yeah.
Learned about LFO, we learned about some rhyming dictionary stuff.
Yeah, we did. We learned about ageless dudes are gross.
Yes. Yeah. If you can't pick out somebody's age, like it's like they're wearing a mask on their whole body. Did you notice that in the lyrics how they bring up Mr. Limpet?
Yeah.
Of the incredible Mr. Limpet fame?
Yeah.
That's a weird pull.
Like a non-generational pull.
It's like these guys are ageless. And then they do some Hathaway tricks on the, you know, so it could be the LFO or other beings.
I don't want to give them that much credit.
No, other beings have better shit to do with their time than this, you know, unless it's some kind of like experiment on humanity.
Yeah.
That they're doing. So we didn't learn that much, but we did get to the end of an episode.
We sure did.
And we certainly watched. I watched this video like 4 times. It sucks.
It's terrible.
And I didn't do it with the volume off because I wanted to hear the dumb rhymes. So, you know, fuck me, I guess. Like we need people to suggest things because I goofed it up. I'm sorry, Brayton.
No, it's fine. I feel like we did this is a good episode. So it all works out.
We made lemonoid fine boys. Fine ones. Funky ones.
Light,
funky ones.
Funky ones.
Funky ones. Okay. See, that makes them sound like other beings, too.
Yeah.
But you ain't seen nothing yet. Every episode of Danger Bugs ends with a poem about an onion. Brayden, do you have a poem about an onion?
I do.
I'm incredibly happy. Let's see if you stick to an LFO-esque rhyme scheme.
Oh, okay. Leakers, leakers everywhere, hugging their trim, rot-stinking abs like they bore the babes of pestilence and grief. Leakers, leakers, fennel finalists, and red revolutionaries alike.
Wow. I like it. And is it leakers like L-E-E?
Yeah.
Yeah. Teenage dirtbags? Wordplay, wordplay. Mixed meanings.
Gary, do you want to talk about what we're doing in the next episode?
Sure.
We're going to do Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice, so come back.
I'm excited for this. I know that you had said that all the songs we did are bad, and the lyrics are bad in Gin and Juice.
Yeah.
But I like Gin and Juice.
No. I think Gin and Juice is a good song and a not as great video. So.
Yeah. There are things to like about it.
Yeah.
And there's also things to like about Gin and Juice respectively.
Yeah, but we'll
as
save
well
that
as
for
together.
Later.
We're definitely saving that for later. If you like the show, thank you. Apologize for the delay. We took some time off because various factors, but we're back now.
Yeah.
So apologies for that. Thank you for listening to the show. If you like the show and want to support it, the best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also tell your friends about it. Say like, hey, you like LFO. You like this video.
Why are we friends?
You like LFO. Why are we friends?
Yeah.
And then they will say, fuck off.
Yeah. And they should.
Yeah. It's I would have a very hard time. Like, you get it, you know, you get in a car, like, you on a date, you get in the car, and, like, you know, an album track from this album comes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's hard to even like this ironically, I feel like.
I think
it is real. It is truly one of the worst.
Yeah.
The worst song we've done for this show.
Very possible. I mean, it's got to be up there with Eiffel 65 or whatever it was.
And I take more, like, way more joy from Eiffel 65.
Yeah.
You know, whether it makes it a worse song or not, like, I get more from it.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, this could be it. Like, this could be the worst one. It's all uphill from here, guys.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember how I transitioned into that. What should they do if they like the show, Brayden?
They should rate and review it on iTunes.
Oh my God,
they should tell their friends all about it. They should check out the Patreon.
Yeah.
And that's it, really.
Yeah, that's really it. We really appreciate you guys, though, for listening. And in 2016, we vow to have a better sign-off.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.